Alicia.
I'm Kei Xu.
I'm Kit Chen. We are IT students. We are very lucky today because we have the chance to interview a very talented instructor at DI, Li Hui Li. He's a makeup designer, hair artist, and artistic director. Please welcome Lampos.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Hi, Lampos. Thank you for thank you so much for being on the show with us. Could you please tell us a bit about yourself, like where you come from and what you are currently working on at DI Li Hui Li?
Okay. Well, my name is Lampros Vasilis, as you said before. I'm from Greece. Here at HKDI, I'm a consultant and lecturer at the fashion department, and more specifically to the fashion image design department of HKDI. And I'm doing a series of lectures for the students and also doing a lot of external projects for the HKDI with different designers and organizations.
How did you get started here?
Here?
Yes.
Well, I was invited back in November, December from Liz McClafferty, which is the head of department,
yes.
The fashion department, which she used to be my mentor and lecturer at London College of Fashion, where I studied,
yes.
12 years ago. So she invited me over to give a series of seminars and lectures for the students for the fashion image design department. And also we did some shows for the Business of Design Week at mm-hmm. the Convention Center in Wan Chai, some workshops for the industry and the students.
Yeah.
And I really had a very good time. So when she invited me over to come for a longer period, I was very happy to accept.
I see. I wonder, how did you get started with your career, like designer?
I think I was very creative since I was very, very young. Mm. And I think I was the only creative in my family, so that made a big difference of my approach with my family and my family towards me. But I didn't start it in fashion directly. I started in interior design. So I did 2 years interior design when I was 16, 17. So that was my first proper introduction with art and design in general. So I did a variety of units such as drawing, photography, proper blueprint for buildings and civil engineering, but also interior design for houses and businesses. So that was my first proper introduction to art and design. But then fashion was always been a passion for me. So I'm a very visual person. And then I started doing hair. I studied in Athens for 2 years. Then I had my military service for a year and a half, which is obligatory in Greece. You have to go to military
mm-hmm.
when you are young. And then London was a passion that I had since I was very young. So I was really looking forward to finish my military service and then go to London. And London was my door to fashion. So I continued doing hair there, and then got interested in makeup.
Oh.
So I did few short courses in makeup, and then of course I enrolled at the London College of Fashion.
Oh.
So I did my BA there.
And do those experience enrich your designs?
Sorry?
Do those experience enrich your design?
Yes, of course, a lot. I've learned a lot through my experiences as a student and working in the industry. Of course, I'm not the same person as I used to be when I started.
But how do you change the attitude toward the interior design to fashion design?
I think interior design and architecture has a very strong link with fashion.
Yes.
And it's all about constructing a look. Either you do it with makeup, either you do it with fabric, either you do it with cement, or either you do it with objects. It's all about what you want to see and what you want to hide. So there are many layers there in all different disciplines. So basically, that's why I moved from hair makeup into art direction, because I can focus in the overall image of something, like a building. I can see the outside, the inside, details, instead of focusing, let's say, just on the windows. So fashion and art direction, I think there is a very strong link, and I'm glad I did an interior design at the beginning, because I think it helped me have a different understanding of how things are built and done and supported.
So, do you have students in other countries?
Yes, I have students in other countries. Well, before I arrived here, I was doing some seminars for London College of Fashion for hair and makeup students, and then students from MA Photography, in Fashion Photography at the London College of Fashion. I have some students that I'm mentoring back in Greece all the time. Long distance now, but I'm doing that as well. And also I'm doing some educational programs in Japan, and also for some organizations here in Hong Kong.
So what do you think about the differences between Hong Kong style and European style?
Well, I don't think there is a lot of difference. Is I think it's a different approach, because now we can see fashion is a more global phenomenon than something that is very localized. The influences are different, but I think style transcends everywhere in the world. So I think nowadays the people in London, they want to be very unique, and I think this is the same aim that people in Asia want the same. They want individuality and to be different than anyone else.
Oh.
So, but I think here I can see from my students that are very experimental, and they don't they're not scared to make any mistakes. So I think it's very exciting for me to see that, because maybe in Europe, even though we can think a little bit more fashion forward and a little bit more different, but I think there are lots of barriers in expression. Here people are a bit more free, I think.
What is the barrier for those students?
Sorry?
What is the barrier for those students?
What is the?
Do you, what do you mean by barrier?
Barriers from people in Europe. We are, I think we're a little bit more how can I put it? We don't like to make mistakes with our image. We are very careful for what to choose. We won't change our hair very drastically compared to what's going on here. I have students that they will come one day, basically I don't recognize them day by day because they just look so different. They will come with normal hair, and then the next day they will have blue hair, and then the next time they will just have short hair, which you don't come across in Europe. That, so in Europe we have a more stable style, so we're gonna find our style and we will evolve into that style. Compared to here, students tend to change a lot, which I find very interesting visually for me.
And you did many things, and you now are teaching here. And what are the challenges have you found teaching in Hong Kong?
Well, when I came back in November, December, I had a very, very busy month, So I saw lots of different students from different disciplines. So first year students, second year students, third year students. I spent a lot of time with the third year students, which was very nice because they were getting ready for the graduation and their final project. They were very focused and very determined. So when I visited again the second time, I started teaching the first year students, which was a big challenge for me because it's much different than Europe, very different. They're sometimes very quiet. I feel they're a bit isolated with their phones, as we were saying before. So they don't respond as much as I want them to be at the beginning. But I think after spending 3-4 weeks with them and getting to know them better, I think we've reached a very nice level of communication. So it needs a little bit more work at the beginning so they can relax and they can see teaching and learning how I see it, which is not teach and student. It's more about exchanging views and talk to each other.
Is it more like a friend than a teacher?
I won't say friend, but I don't think something as rigid as a student role and a teacher role can have the same interaction. It's not high school anymore. It's a university, it's a college, it's a higher education. So it has to, student and teacher, they have to connect in a different level. We're both adults and, you know, freedom of expression and exchanging ideas is what brings us good results, especially in design and art. It's all about communication, right?
Yes, I agree.
What do you think about their work they did so far?
I think this year they did amazing work. I had the pleasure to art direct their final show and our final year book with their work, and I think we did a pretty good job all together. It was a very big team effort, and they were very determined. They were amazing in responding. Everything had to be done very fast, so I think they were very, very enthusiastic this year. And I really enjoyed working with them.
And you mean the graduation show?
The graduation show, yes. Did you watch it?
I want to watch, but I have lessons that
You
day.
Had lessons?
Yes.
Okay. I'll give you the DVD.
Oh, that's great. how do you teach creativity in the Aliwele?
How teach creativity?
Yes.
Okay. How do you teach creativity? That's a very, very broad and big issue. Let's start about what is creativity. So creativity is something that basically it's a sense of an idea that you need to develop and find solutions around an issue and at the same time tackle problems like technical problems, someone being, it can be a very simple problem like someone being late, or in a photo shoot, the model is not responding as you want. So then you need to find creative solutions around this problem. So I think creativity can come through experience and research. So this is what I'm telling my students here when they ask me, how can you be creative? I cannot answer this question. Creative comes through a process and through development around a subject or a project or an issue or an idea. So there are lots of different aspects that evolve through creativity.
Maybe we have to observe the things around us like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I get
it. Observe the things, take information in.
Yes.
From your surroundings or what you see or what you read, and then basically creativity is to filter them through your own taste, aesthetics, and your own development process. I have different creativity processes than you do, I'm sure. Oh, it's unique to everybody.
How do you get inspiration from Hong Kong or DIY?
I get inspirations from my students.
Yeah?
Yes, because I really? Find them extraordinary. Extraordinary. It's it was my first time in Asia in general,
yes.
Back in November, December, and as I told you before, their personal style and the way they compose themselves or the way they walk or the way they talk to me, it's something very new to me. So I take inspiration from everywhere around me, from the food, the music, what people are wearing. I really like looking at old people here in Asia.
Yeah.
They are. I found them very, very interesting.
The old people.
Old people, yes.
How do you define the old people?
I see older people walking around, and I found their styling very interesting. What they're wearing, because even though it's kind of random, I find it very interesting, very, very interesting. I see them sleeping in the most weird places. And I find this interesting as well. This is actually one of the projects I want to do. I want to go with a Polaroid camera and find people that they're sleeping in a carton box or on a chair in the middle of the street. They're having a break, but I find aesthetically and culturally, I find it very amazing. You don't find that in Europe anywhere.
Very interesting. How about the food? You said the food can also give you inspirations.
Yes.
Can you give us some examples?
Yes, of course. Well, I live in Wan Chai, and there are very local Cantonese restaurants around. You know, the ones that they have all the meat in the display, and then they put the noodles. And if you walk around Wan Chai, you might see me just staring at what they're doing. I find it interesting. It's amazing the way you cook here compared to how we cook in Europe, and especially Greece, we use completely different ingredients. So I see the process. I take it as a process. And then the colors are different and the taste is different. I can't say that I can translate that totally in an image, but if I actually haven't thought about this, maybe if I start researching a little bit more, maybe we can come with a great idea for the project.
Very creative.
Thank you.
Do you have any favorite designer that you appreciate?
Oh, I like a lot of designers. I like a lot of designers from the past, and I like young designers that they are coming out now, especially in London, and I've met few from Hong Kong. Do you want me to say names?
Yes.
To okay. name a few, okay. Well, from the past generations from Europe, I really like Madame Vionnet. I think her style and her drapery and the use of fabric and the silhouette was amazing. I also like, of course, Alexander McQueen, which was, I can't say anything about him, just brilliant. I also like Sarah Barton, that continues the brand, and I'm glad that she's there. And from new designers, I really like Gareth Pugh, and from Hong Kong designers, I've met William Tang, which I really respect, and he's very, very nice. And actually, I'm looking forward for our graduates here to see and spot new talents. I'm really looking forward to follow up what's going on after graduating from HKDI. Mm.
And now I have another question, which is, how do you negotiate between the expectation of the client, conventional standard of beauty, and what you find interesting?
Well, it's that's a creative process. This exactly as you described it, how to put everything together. That's a creative process. Put my vision will be the foundation. And then I have to take all the parameters around what the client is expecting, what I'm expecting, what my team is expecting, and what we all gonna work as a team for this project. So this is my creative process, taking everything under consideration and working towards a goal, of course, with the highest standards as possible.
Are there any cases that you think is impressive?
Sorry?
Are there any cases that you think is impressive?
Any cases that I've worked?
Yes.
With? Yes, of course. Like the graduate catalog we did for HKTI was an amazing process, because even though it was a very big project for the students, they've been working 6 months on that project, and we had a lot of different parameters to look around the project. Also very strong deadlines and many people involved. So the bigger the team, we were around 50 people, plus models, plus photographers, and we had a very limited time to shoot 28 looks in 2 days. That's a lot of work. So that was a big challenge for me, to come with something amazing in such short period of time. So yes, extraordinary results with a very, very tight time frame.
Well, creativity is important, and you have mentioned that. Communities of practice, what do you mean?
Communities of practice?
Yeah.
Communities of practice is, did you get that from a blog?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Communities of practice is basically, actually, we are a community of practice, as we are, because we have something in common, design, and we have something else in common. We all are at the HKDI, and now we're exchanging views and ideas and experiences. So I'm learning from you, and you're learning from me, okay? So this is what a community of practice is doing. So I learned a lot. As I don't know if you've read from my blog, I was very lucky from the beginning of my career. I organized myself with some other friends. Then we became a team, so that we were working always together. So it was a team of photographers, stylists, art directors, video editors, fine artists, designers. So basically, we were just spending a lot of time together. I was talking about my projects, they were talking about their projects, but while we were exchanging those ideas and situations, I was learning from their experience, and they were learning from my experience. But we were also working together to create our own project outside university, outside the job environment. So there we were getting very, very creative. Mm. And there I think I learned a lot about that. So this is what I'm encouraging my students to do, create communities of practice. And I think this is what is maybe can be developed here at KTI. So you are media students, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe it will be actually very nice if you could interact a little bit with the fashion students, because at some point you will do that. You will do that, because media, fashion, music, hair, makeup, they all come together at the end.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Apart from communities of practice, we saw some of your works on your website, and they are so stunning, and there seems to be a dark kind of science fiction element to some of your works. And aesthetically, what are your current influences?
I'm from Greece, so I grew up in a place full of history. We have like 100 meters from where I grew up and I was playing, there was this huge ancient Greek temple of marble. So I have strong influence from the classic work of sculptures in ancient Greek and antiquity, and also art and any kind of visual art. Old, ancient, or new influence me, and I have a very specific idea about when I'm developing a project. There are, I have set specific standards that I know that if I will see those standards, I'm sure I will be happy with the project. But also trying to incorporate something new all the time and mixing with those standards. This is how I develop an idea or I get creative, but I have certain visual references in the back of my head somewhere, I don't know where they are, that they will project what I want to do. You said you see a lot of science fictions. I've been working with some up-and-coming designers in London, and they were in that was their aesthetics, which I really, really like. And but I think if you see closely the project and take of the styling and these new high-tech futuristic elements, I think you can see a lot of classic influence there. It can be the lighting, it can be the movement, it can be just the whole feeling of the project. So try and unwrap the layers and see what's hidden underneath.
And you said students at DIUA work in a vacuum. Could you explain that?
In a vacuum?
Vacuum,
yes. Well, I think you should explain this to me because I can see you from early morning with your phone. Your phone is your best friend. And I think maybe this is because, I mean, I get that as well now that I've been in Hong Kong for 3-4 months, that space is an issue. So you are very close to yourself. My apartment is very small compared to my apartment in London. So you kind of have to find your own bubble and operate through there. I know you also live with your parents, right? For a long period. I left my house when I was 18, so I was quite independent and I could express myself in a new environment without anyone that I know looking at me. So I think it's a kind of a protection, which as a teacher, I'm trying to penetrate. So I can get to see you without your phone and have a nice chat, which I'm glad that lots of my graduates are still texting me, and we have a meeting points throughout the summer, so I can see what they're doing, they can see what I'm doing, and maybe collaborate in some sense. Mm.
That's the safety zone, is it?
Sorry?
You mean the work in a vacuum is the safety zone?
Yes, it's just a safety zone. It's just a safety zone. It's what I'm saying, that communities of practice can help. Instead of just reflecting from you and your phone screen, I think, which is amazing, technology and information is amazing. We have those amazing phones. I didn't have that when I was a kid. I had my first mobile phone when I was 20, because before there were no any mobile phones, but you are so lucky, guys. You have all the all the world in your palm. But I think that can be one part, but I think I would like my students to develop another part and another technique of communication between your classmates and with the other world that is a little bit more real and tangible, because whatever we see on the internet is not necessarily the reality, especially in a visual world. I think it's better if you get and explore the real world and what people are doing around you.
That's the creativity.
I think so. I mean, it cannot be just one thing. You have to have influence from every different opportunity that is around you. So I'm a very visual person. I will never go around looking at the screen of my phone and walking. I want to see what's going on. I'm glad. I love watching people doing this and walking. It's amazing. I just stare. But I like influence to see. I like to see the sky. I like to see what people are doing, how people are eating. That's something very interesting to me sometimes. And their habits. And I can see, a lot of the character just looking at people. I like observing people. So that's why you will never see me with my phone a lot of time, just talking, and then I just put it away.
That's great.
So you like to travel around?
Yes, I love traveling. That's one of the reasons I'm in Asia at the moment, because it's a part of the world that even though I've been reading and I've been researching imagery, and I've met a lot of people in Europe from Asia, and I have lots of friends. And I have lots of friends from Hong Kong that I met in London, and now they're visiting me in Hong Kong. Yes, I love traveling, and I think just seeing new things is amazing. It's amazing.
Oh, which country do you like best?
That's hard to say. I like all of the countries I've been. I just like different things.
Oh,
about them.
Which country have you visited?
Well, the last country I went to was 2 weeks ago, and I went to Bangkok, which was the second time I was in Thailand. And Bangkok was it's an amazing city, and I really like the people and the aroma of the food and the flowers and the really nice, kind nature of the people. I met few locals, and their hospitality is amazing. I was overwhelmed.
So what is your next station?
My next destination is Tokyo. In 2 weeks' time, which is a project I've been working on for the past 2 months, and I will be delivering two workshops. The one will be art fashion project for styling and designer and media students, and the other one will be beauty, hair and makeup workshops for students that they are preparing to go into higher education. So probably something that you did, I don't know, 2 years ago, like a small taster of what art, media, fashion, makeup is all about. And I'm very excited to meet my Japanese students.
Uh-oh.
And it will be also my first time in Tokyo.
Oh,
so I'm really looking forward.
Hope you enjoy it. Any advice for young people who would like to start a career in the design field?
Yes, just fashion is an art, is a medium of expression of the self, of who you are, and it's amazing. There are so many ways to express it, and so many mediums to use, especially nowadays with technology. Actually, we can create things that even 5 years was impossible to create. And also is how you can approach people. Now is just the possibilities are endless, because as an artist, you don't do art for yourself. You do it for yourself. It's something from you, but you want basic thing is to get respond from people, bad or good, it doesn't matter. But it's just to have that communication with people and with new media and new technologies. I'm sure you know more about that than me. I'm I feel sometimes old school when I talk to my students, because they are so fast forward with technologies and mediums and platforms. So it's amazing to see how your generation will engage with those media and technologies, and how you will translate fashion, art, design, media in the future.
We understand you have been here since April and you will stay until November. What do you do when you are not at work?
Wow, I'm lucky to be in Hong Kong, amazing city. There are so many different things you can do in Hong Kong, and very contradicting. I live in Wan Chai, which is very, very busy, but 10 minutes bus ride, I'm in a tropical beach on a weekend, which I can relax. Also, I can go to amazing bars and restaurants and explore your food and culture, and meet amazing people from around the world. Hong Kong for me is an international village, because you meet a lot of different people in such a small... I've never had that experience in my life, to meet so diverse people in such a place. It's an amazing hub, and I'm glad I'm here. I'm very happy I'm here.
What do you think about the food in Hong Kong? Have you ever tried fishball or egg tart?
Dim sum.
Yes, of
dim
course. Sum. I love dim sum, and my favorite restaurant is in Causeway Bay. And I've tried fishball, and I've tried thousand-year-old egg, and that was an adventure. But I really like it, and I really like seafood. And seafood in Hong Kong is cheaper than cheese, so I'm very happy. Very, very happy.
I think it's the cheese more expensive.
Yeah, the cheese is more expensive than seafood, so I have seafood every day. I love it.
Okay, we just have one final question. That matters to our female audience. Do you have any general makeup tips for girls?
Yes, I have many tips for girls, but...
Especially for the Hong Kong one or global?
It will be a global, it will be something that is more general. Just be happy with what you see in the mirror, and try and work with what you see in the mirror, than try and change radically. This is my philosophy about beauty. Just make yourself feel comfortable, and don't think about what other people will say, and express yourself, especially now that you are younger. So self-expression is what I promote in my discipline, even this, if it's art direction, fashion, hair, makeup, interior, anything. Just feel comfortable in your own skin.
Do you mean to do what they like to do?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Thank you once again, Lampros. We wish you all the best, and if you ever need a model for your work, you can ask our teacher Jeanette.
Of course, I will.
She'll be more than happy to do it.
Of course, I might ask you too.
thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed my interview.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. If you are interested in Lampro's work, check out his website www.lamprosfasris.com. See you next time. Bye.